puts it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Going to try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, and welcome into Soccer Matters here, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Man, it's remarkable how important the game of soccer is on a daily basis to the world. Sometimes think we forget that. This show is always jam-packed, information, interviews, conversation, opinion. Hoping the summer is treating everybody well. Hope we're going to hear a lot from you tonight as well on the show. It's 713-780-3776. We're streaming ESPN975.com. On the heels of the Wheelhouse, and I want to remind you tonight, we'll give away Dynamo Dash tickets, Dash Portland. That'll be the next home game. The Dash actually playing tonight. Dynamo Atletico San Luis tonight as well. We got tickets for them. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. A few reminders for the near and short term as well about events that are coming up. Like I said, the Dynamo against Atletico San Luis. You ask why? Because they're partially owned by Atletico Madrid and Hector Herrera, who was at the Astros game last night. Everybody's very excited about that. We're going to go right to Paulo Nagamura tonight. I got a 20-minute interview. We're going to do it in the second hour. We're going to talk real deep about Hector Herrera, where he thinks he's going to see him play positionally. You're going to get some of my opinion on that. We watched him with Mexico in the six in front of two center backs. He was one of Mexico's better players against Ecuador. Frankly, that was more like kung fu fighting and martial arts than soccer for that second half. Pretty much in that 0-0 draw. So two games Mexico hasn't scored. That's a big problem. We'll talk about them a bit tonight. I've got the Dynamo schedule. We got amazing July. Herrera's going to make his debut here in Houston. I hope the mainstream media figures out who this man is and where he's played and who he plays for when it comes to the Mexican national team. I'm talking about the English language side. And I hope that we just don't get the standard, we're going to come out when he's announced and then kind of disappear. We got to cover this guy. Also, June 16th. This is the day we find out if Houston, Texas is going to be a host for the World Cup in 2026. That'll be from New York City. We're going to find out. I'm going to stay real confident and still say here that we're going to get it. Location, volume of people in the city, size of the city. I think a lot of the cities, when it comes to stadium infrastructure and stuff, a lot of them are very comparable. The one thing we don't know is the whole political element, but I think we're going to get it. I'm staying real confident on that. We got a number of different guests here tonight on the show. I've got David Rodriguez, who was a part of FC Dallas's academy, who's now a member of Atletico San Luis, and we're going to call him in the first hour. We're going to talk to him about that club coming in, get a little bit of the history there about what's going on Saturday with the Dynamo Charities Cup, which is against a foreign team. By the way, you'll also hear from Paulo Nagamura tonight on what he's trying to accomplish in that game tomorrow. So this is an interview you're not going to get anywhere else with going deep. We'll also find out a little bit more about Sebas Ferreira, which we did today. He actually had COVID. That's why he did not play against Real Salt Lake. He did not travel to Real Salt Lake. There was reports that he did. He didn't. And he tested negative, so they sent him back over to Asia. So he may be on TV on Friday against the Korean Republic. I really hope so, and I want to watch him in that game because the last time he played for Paraguay, he played quite well. So I'm glad to hear that he did not miss out on the whole trip because he has been scoring some goals for the Dynamo. We're going to ask Paulo Nagamura also in the interview about the wants and desires, what areas of the team that he wants improved. He gets a little bit detailed in this. So I think you're going to really like this interview if you are a Houston Dynamo fan. Today, Germany and England 1-1. Jonas Hofmann would put Germany up 1-0 in this one. This was a good watch today.
Kimmich, oh, good ball. Hofmann flashes it beyond Jordan Pickford and establishes a German lead. That's a really crisp hit.
Jordan Pickford actually got a hand on that. Hofmann was allowed to turn inside the box. Good entry ball to him. England ties it up. 60th career national team goal for the one and only Spurs fans. You're going to love me for this. Tottenham's Harry Kane. Sorry, Andy.
Kane, 50! 50 England goals for Harry Kane, who leaves behind the great Bobby Charlton.
Wow, he broke Bobby Charlton's record. That kind of pains me. I know that pains you, too, to hear a guy from Spurs reaping all those benefits.
He's a great player. That's all I'm going to say.
He is a great player. Aaron Ramsey, you liked him, right?
Yeah. Closest thing we have to a legend from the Emirates era. FA Cups.
So tonight, Andrew, I'm going to put out to everybody, and I want the wheelhouse guys are probably in their cars right now, so I need to get to something they said. So the guys were talking, I think it was BK, I'm not sure who. The guys were talking on the wheelhouse about, I almost said Javon Watson, the former Houston Dynamo guy from Jamaica. Deshaun Watson of the Texans. Jeez, that's brutal. I like Javon Watson, by the way. But we're talking about Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, who's involved in all this off-field stuff. And I heard BK, I think it was BK, saying, wow, I really feel, you know, bad for Texans fans. They got to defend him. They don't have to defend him. Why do you have to defend him? Do you really have to defend him? No, you don't. And what type of fan are you if you decide not to defend him? Are you a better fan if you are defending him? Are you following everybody, or are you making your own determination if he's been honest to you as a fan? And should fans and fandom, should you just be all in all the time and wear your Texans glasses? Or, because I know people in Houston, Texas aren't like that. But there's a lot of that going on now, in even in MLS and NWSL and a lot of leagues where everybody's got to be in all in and can't be critical. And I actually think fans that are critical, organizations learn a tremendous amount from. They create a thing called healthy pressure. You've heard me talk about that forever on this show in Houston. Healthy pressure, because the Dynamo don't have it. They need more of it. And you can always say, oh, well, I don't need anybody to give me any pressure because, you know, it's inherent and it's in myself. And, I produce that myself. No, you need it from the media. You need it from others. We don't have it. We got to get that. That helps the Houston Dynamo. That helps Pat Onstad, Paulo Nagamura, Asher Mendelson, all the guys on the competitive side. This helps. Your thoughts, Andrew?
Look, I think that there should always be a limit to fandom. Like, there should be things that are acceptable to you as a fan and things that aren't. And when it comes to Deshaun Watson and some of the stuff that we've read about on field, I don't care how big a fan of the Texans you are. I don't care how big a fan you are of any athlete or of any team. When somebody who's a member of that team or an athlete on that team commits the sort of heinous stuff that Deshaun has been accused of, to me, that breaks all sort of bounds. And, like, any sort of pact that you have with yourself and the team in terms of, hey, I'm supporting you guys through thick and thin, that breaks it all. Like, at that point, there should be no reasonable defense of him. I don't care how deep your fandom runs. There are certain things that you simply should not, like, accept or defend, and that sort of stuff is one of them.
Yeah, I agree. We're not here to tell you how to be a fan, but I think from the standpoint of, you know, what your players represent to you, I think that's important. What do you say out there? 713-780-3776. I would love to get a Texan fan or two. 713-780-3776. Are we all in on defending Javon Watson because he's a great football player? Now, he hasn't been proven technically. This is still in the system and it's in the courts. It's still, quote unquote, alleged, right? So we also have to be careful with that. Right. But I don't think you have to, as a fan, 100% defend someone. I don't think you have to do that. I think you have expectations as a fan. There's all kinds of fans. There's the ones that are just going to be positive about everything every day. Those are good. Those are needed, I guess. And then there are ones that are a little bit more critical. But I can assure you that when Bayern Munich play, Barcelona play, Real Madrid play, I assure you, everybody's not looking through the rose-colored glasses. And that intensifies what is called a healthy pressure. Mexico's suffering this right now, too. Haven't scored in two games. They want Tata Martino out. They want to bring in Miguel Herrera, who just seems the soup du jour choice every single time Mexico's got a coaching problem because he's, quote-unquote, a Mexican coach. Yet those same fans are always holding in higher esteem Argentine coaches and Argentine players who many times are taking the jobs of Mexican players that are equally as talented and probably less expensive. So it's a very interesting dynamic, the way sports is positioned now. For me, it's a little bit too commercial. 713-780-3776. All right, Portugal today, 4-0 over Switzerland. For you Real Madrid fans, guess who scored? And you Portugal fans, and you Manchester United fans.
This might fall for Bruno Fernandes. He's done really well. Diogo Jota, Ronaldo, 2-0.
All right, so they go on to beat Switzerland 4-0. Norway 2-1 over Sweden. Now, by the way, Erling Haaland is now on Manchester City. He'll be coming to Houston here in July, July 20th. That's a game you're not going to want to miss. Manchester City against Club America at Energy Stadium. Here's the first of two from Erling Haaland. This one, Erling Haaland, it comes from the penalty spot.
It is the goal machine, Haaland, who does beat Olsen and does extend that record.
Guess what? He gets a second as Norway beats Sweden 2-1.
Here is Haaland with the chance for Norway. Oh, what a great finish that is by Erling Haaland. His second of the game. Is there nothing that he cannot do?
You know, this is a scary thought of him running up front for Manchester City. This is going to be fascinating to watch him integrated into a team that's been really playing with a false nine. This is a guy that can absolutely run like a gazelle from the halfway line on the counterattack, too. So this is going to be really interesting. I'm interested to see him playing with his back to goal because he's going to have to do that with Manchester City because of the amount of teams that are going to defend deep, and he's going to have to look for these little spaces and gaps and opportunities and openings. It's going to be fascinating to see him with the version of Manchester City that plays right now in Pep Guardiola. All right, let's go to the big one, Wales and the Ukraine. 1-0 victory. Here's how it happened. It was a driven-in cross from Gareth Bale. It was hit hard, to his credit, and it's an own goal coming off Andrei Yarmolenko.
The emblem of a nation's hopes. Here's Gareth Bale! Lift off for Wales!
So that's how Wales, that goal, gets them to the World Cup. And the Ukraine falls short at Cardiff City. For me, the Ukraine was the better football team. I don't care. I'm sorry. That's what I saw, technically. I think they were the better team. But they ran into a brilliant move from their manager. This was high stakes. This was to go to the World Cup. So just sit here right now as you listen to me and imagine the amount of financial windfall that Wales has just gotten for qualifying for the World Cup. Whether they win a game or not, whether they score a goal or not, they're going to have a lot of money that will come back to their federation. This is why everybody was moaning here in the U.S. when we didn't qualify also. For me, it's more the football side of it. We're not there. On the other hand, sponsors, you know, you got to walk people off the ledge when this happens. So Rob Page is the manager of Wales. Now, remember what happened with Wales. Guess who was the coach before? Everybody who's a Manchester United fan knows Ryan Giggs. Ryan Giggs still has a court case that's opened and I think will be tried in August. He's been accused of bodily harm to his former partner, Kate Greville. And something happened with the sister. Anyway, it's nasty stuff. Don't want to get into it. So Page is the interim manager and has now qualified them for the first time in 64 years. But the amazing thing is that he went into this game and he made the choice to go with his backup goalkeeper, Wayne Hennessy, who saved, for me, a certain three goals and came up with a performance that won that game. I mean, that was a prime example of how the top end of your team, a hot striker, or the back end of your team, great goalkeeping, a great goalkeeper, can win a game. Those are two positions that can win you a game. And listen, he gets all marks for that. And Ukraine, again, to me, was technically, aesthetically the better team. The end, they're stoned by a great goalkeeper in Wayne Hennessy. Sidorchuk mentioned that the Ukraine sat in silence for 20 minutes in their locker room after the game. And then he went on to mention, how about this? And this is a good one for you, Andrew. And this guy's my MVP. On the weekend, Aaron Ramsey went over to the Ukraine locker room. And he went in there to console him.
Good man.
Good man. I mean, that's the kind of person we got to pump up. So good for Aaron Ramsey. Yeah, good stuff there. All right, this is Peter Tosh coming in hot. We're going to hopefully do that the rest of the show. Come back, we're going to talk some more Nations League. We got some sound from Rob Page that I want to play you, the interim manager. And one of the sound bites is basically him talking about, yeah, I was out of the job if we didn't qualify for the World Cup. So now he has a contract through the World Cup. All right, Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Head over to 2775 Fondren, the best in modern contemporary furniture. My great friend Jan Christensen, we got Danish Dynamite, his segment coming up tonight. But it is the best in modern contemporary furniture. It's Danish Inspirations, 2775 Fondren, danishinspirations.com. Longtime sponsors of the show. They've got the Stressless line there. And I have a couch that I swear I could put two families on if we wanted to watch a soccer game. It's that big, and it folds out. It's amazing. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. It's more Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Fire in some shot, shot, shot.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It's that disbelief again, Garrett, where you wake up in the morning and you're wondering if it's still a dream. And then you realise that, wow, what we've achieved last night is unbelievable. You know, for those group of players to go out consistent, give that level of performance to get us to a World Cup is hard to sink in, but it's a great achievement.
How about that from Rob Page as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, you seek performance, you find luxury at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Premium service is tailored for you. At Advantage BMW in Midtown, excellence isn't just offered, it's expected. I bought a number of vehicles there. I've leased. I'm about to have to get into another one here soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. They have an expert sales team. Justin, go down there. You'll find the perfect new, certified pre-owned, or pre-owned vehicle. Something special, your hometown Advantage. San Jacinto at Gray. That's where Advantage BMW is located. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. And again, I will remind you, all these superstars are coming to Houston with Manchester City July 20th taking on Club America. That's going to be a really kind of global kind of day out at Energy Stadium. You got Kevin De Bruyne, Jack Grealish, Raheem Sterling, who played for England here today. All of these players are going to be there. Erling Haaland. And, of course, Club America, well, it's a huge brand. 13-time Liga MX champions. It's going to be a great time. Tickets $35, Ticketmaster, and at CopitaLoneStar.com. So don't forget to get in there. Okay, another one from Rob Page on the performance of goalkeeper Wayne Hennessy. He essentially won him this game.
We knew they were going to test us. We knew that. We knew. We showed them that all the defenders and the keepers clips of their strikers and what their strengths are. And one of the strengths was shooting from long range. And on a wet pitch last night as well, it was even trickier for him. And when he held the first shot, I probably knew then that he was going to be in for a good night. Not as busy as what he had, but now, every single one of them should be very proud of themselves.
Boy, he denied Zinchenko. He denied Yaremchuk. I think he might have been referencing the Yaremchuk chance where they got it wrong at the back. Center back was stepping up, and Hennessy came up with a big save. I'm not sure, but I think that's the one he was referring to. And well, you know, you really got to kind of feel for the Ukraine, don't you? Zinchenko, I thought, was remarkable. And, you know, for I saw so many people looking at him with the Ukraine and going, oh, he's a left back for Manchester City. Yeah, no kidding. And he's playing as a playmaker for his country, kind of had a free role. Pretty remarkable stuff. So, yeah, you just kind of got a feel for the Ukraine. But you know what, Andrew? It's interesting. The U.S. gets Wales and England. A lot of guys that play in the Premier League and in the UK, and then you get Iran. It's a really interesting group, and, you know, there's 5 months to go. There's so many things that can happen. People can get injured, you know, loss of form. There's so much that'll happen. There will be more stories. I always reference Chris Armas, who's clearly the starting holding midfielder for Bruce Arena in the U.S. before 2002, gets a really serious injury in a friendly leading up to the game. And then, you know, in comes Pablo Mastroeni. He's out. Mastroeni goes on to have a great World Cup and ID himself. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens. Dreams get broken. I mean, how do you think Miles Robinson, who's been, you know, a top center back along Walker Zimmerman for the United States, is feeling right now that his World Cup just went poof because of an injury? Tough stuff. All right. You know what? Maybe we'll transition a little bit into the U.S. And we'll talk about their two games. Of course, they had a 3-0 victory over Morocco. So let's start with a Brendan Aaronson goal from that game.
Pulisic through the middle. Brought down beautifully. Then the check. Then the layoff. Then the goal. Aaronson's name on it. Pulisic all over it.
All right, Timothy Weah, Haji Wright would score goals. Christian Pulisic has been good as of late. Here's Greg Berhalter, the coach, post-Uruguay match on the midfield trio of Yunus Musah, Tyler Adams, and Weston McKennie.
I would say nothing at this level set in stone just because of the nature of what we're doing. We're picking a team every camp, and a lot of it depends on health status, right? So what I've learned in this job is not to set everything in stone, be flexible, be fluid, and be able to adapt. Regarding these three guys, they're all special talents. You know, Weston was able to compete for 45 minutes after not having started a game in how long? You know, five months. And I thought he grew into the game and showed his quality and his calm on the ball. Yunus is a guy that just blows me away at his age, what he can do. You know, crazy level of talent. We need to work with Yunus on the final product, the final pass, the finishing, because he has a huge ceiling. And Tyler is an engine in there. He has a huge capacity. He never stops. He's got a great mindset. And, you know, when he's connecting the play, moving the ball quickly is when I think he's at his best.
So let's go through these three guys. Yunus Musah can jump out of midfield in a New York minute in the blink of an eye. I would add decision-making to that. I mean, I think that's what Greg Berhalter was referring to as well. The final pass, the decision-making. But, man, I mean, he's 19 years old. Tyler Adams is mature beyond his years. He's an amazing story. You should look his story up. He was raised in New York, came to Red Bulls Academy 30 minutes each way. But is just such a mature kid. My God. And he goes about things very quietly, and he's very good positionally. Great protection for the two center backs. He's a big piece. If you remember, and I know you remember this, Andrew, because we had Greg Berhalter in the studio, and we had him on a bunch of different shows here. Like no other radio station in Houston, I might add. But we are the soccer station. We're going to proudly say that. Football station. But I think if you remember, and I know you remember this, remember when he was trying him at right back, but then there was this element where he would then drift into the middle and midfield once the ball was moved forward, and to provide an extra player in there, and you know, and that's what experimentation is all about. But at some point, it just finally dawned on Greg Berhalter: just leave him at the six. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, and I think that's where he's best. I think that's where U.S. fans have been screaming out to see him play, and you can understand. For these national team managers, they get so little time with these guys over the course of a year. You have the want to experiment and try different things. But with so little time, I think Greg, it probably, like you said, it dawned on him that, look, let's not mess with this too much. We know Tyler will be fantastic in that sixth role in front of the center backs, protecting the defenders. Let's keep him there where he'll be at his best.
No question. And U.S. has got depth, experience, even at a young age. For a lot of these guys, they're going to get a World Cup under their belt. And then 2026, guess what? U.S., Canada, and Mexico will be hosting. You'll have a World Cup in your own country. You'll play in your own country. And you'll be banking all this experience that you'll get in another 4.5 years, pushing 5, which is really pretty remarkable to me. All right, so I watch Mexico. Mexico's got a ton of what we call healthy pressure and crazy pressure on itself after not winning 2 games in these friendlies. And, of course, they played Ecuador Sunday night. That's the game I referenced with a lot of really really reckless tackles. It's a game the referee, I think, you know, lost a little bit of control of and got himself in trouble, and there was no way back for him when it came to what the definition of a foul was in this game for both of the teams participating. And there were guys just running after guys and kicking their legs out from under each other. And I mean, some of the stuff was, you know, these were red card offenses. I don't think any question, but I want to focus on Hector Herrera because Hector Herrera was excellent in this game for Mexico. I mean, I don't know about excellent, but he was solid. He was one of their better players. I don't think there's any pressure. I mean, there's no question. He gets out of pressure. He's always looking to get the ball. If you watch him, he floats in front of the center backs. He goes closer to him to provide an angle to get the ball. The thing Dynamo fans are going to get from him, if you're saying, well, is this just a holding midfielder here coming, and is he overly defensive? No, he's progressive in his passing. So he breaks lines with his passes, hit one or two longer balls that nearly picked out people on good runs. But he's in that hole, and he's going to pick up a lot of the second balls. Now, I think he's coming to play as a six. I think that's where he plays with Mexico. I'm not going to spoil it because I asked these questions to Paulo Nagamura. You know, whose decision is it going to be? That's going to be in the interview in the second hour. But I think that's where he's going to be most effective. Could he play as an eight and join in? Sure. I would think he would want to continue in the six because that's where he's going to likely play for Mexico in the World Cup. But stranger things have happened. And he moves the ball forward. But I'm thinking of him in front of teenage Hadabi and Tim Parker. That's, you got a little muscle there, right? You know, we complained over the years the muscle hasn't been there. You got a little bit of muscle there. But this guy's a footballer, too. And don't let anybody tell you he isn't. But he slides in the relation to the ball. He's a connector. He's a connector in tight. He's a connector over distance. Very good decision maker. I think there was a couple times he even went all the way back to Ochoa and got the ball off him, splitting the two center backs. Competitor, leader, got in the face of the referee once or twice. So, you know, he's going to be something special here in Houston. How much do you think he's going to move the needle on and off the field, Andrew? In other words, all right, you know, maybe it's Jordan Alvarez right now. I don't know. But let's say, you know, the Astros got Altuve. I don't know who the Rockets star is right now.
Massive importance. Okay. Jalen Green is the young up-and-coming star, okay. But he's not on that stage yet.
Okay, what about with the Texans outside of Watson, who's in the news all the time? Do we have a star there
anymore?
They
don't really have a massive star there. There is some space there for another big, big star name in Houston.
All right, so there is some space here. And, you know, we have that star now. We didn't market Albert Elise correctly because this is a guy that went into the French League and scored goals. He was a really marketable guy. I don't think we did that. I think that was a big epic fail. Sorry, but it was. You know, he had the Panther crawl. He was scoring goals. He was like a runaway train. I mean, there was so much you could have done with him. You could have stuck him in front of the Panthers down at the zoo and done some stuff with him or, you know, do a billboard that says, you know, you don't have to go to the zoo to see a panther and have the silhouette of a panther and him doing his crawl, HoustonDynamo.com. Really simple stuff, but effective, I think. But Hector Herrera is going to have the chance to really move the needle with the Mexico fan. And, of course, World Cup is right around the corner. So that makes it exciting. All right. So really looking forward to his arrival. Really looking forward to see how the media handles it. Really looking forward to, after the initial novelty of it, who's going to come back and cover the Dynamo, and how much work is going to be done to groom those different TV stations and radio stations to keep coming back, and not just come, you know, when there's the cherry on the cake. I see a lot of that type of reporting when it comes to soccer. For instance, the Houston Dash coach, James Clarkson, it's been 6 weeks. He's being investigated, right? Now the Orlando coach is being investigated. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. This is, you have to be informative. You couldn't get away with this in the NFL or the NBA. So I don't know if this is an indictment on where we are as far as interested in teams. Your thoughts, because you're in and around all the mainstream sports all the time.
I think that you're right to be frustrated by it. It's one of those things that, because these sports, and specifically the NWSL more so than the MLS, I think in certain markets the MLS would still have this same issue. I think that Houston currently is probably still one of those markets. But the reality is that when you don't have a multitude of reporters on the same beat who are sourced within the club, and you've only got one or two guys, and for a lot of these cities, it's only one guy who's loosely covering these NWSL teams, it's hard to realistically expect for them to be locked in every single moment in the clubhouse, in the locker room, what have you, with every story, even the big ones. And when you don't have that sort of day-to-day relationship with people in the club, why are they going to give you information on something all of a sudden when you come asking for it, just because this is now the big story? Like, if you don't build that relationship up over the days and months leading up to a story like that breaking, I think it's going to be significantly more difficult for you to all of a sudden ask for that information once that story does break.
Well, the doors are going to be opened with him. Certainly, Hispanic media is going to be all over him, and they're going to be down at training regularly as much as possible. I don't think there's any question, because as you get closer and closer to the World Cup, you're going to get more people wanting to ask him about the Mexican national team as well. And the byproduct is the Dynamo get all this attention. It's a great signing. It's a signing Ted Siegel and the entire organization should be happy about. I remember Tab Ramos bringing Hector Herrera's name up. I don't know if that was left over. I'm sure he's on everybody's list. He's probably on Pat Onstad's list when he was in Columbus, for that matter. But, yeah, I mean, I worry when nobody asks, hey, where is James Clarkson, the coach of the Houston Dash? Where is he? What's going on? Nobody's even asking that. And they just won a game 5-0. Still nobody's even asking that. When Sebas Ferreira doesn't make the trip and he's the leading scorer for the team, nobody even really asks about it. That bothers me. That bothers me that our coverage has not matured more. I think there's people doing some good work out there. No question. But, man, I just, you know, it's been a slow, hasn't happened. Just kind of like this groove here. This is, you know, we need to bust out Blue Oyster Cult and Godzilla, or, you know, a Zeppelin song to accelerate our coverage of the game. Come on. There's a lot of people who love soccer here. Why isn't this working? And you know what? They're not coming to you. You got to go get them. I think that's pretty obvious. I do like this song, though. I forgot the name of this, but I like this band. What's the name of this?
Poolside, Harvest Moon.
Yeah, very good. By the way, my pick, Andrew. You know that. We're coming up here with what I think is going to be pretty special here, an opportunity to visit with Atletico San Luis's David Rodriguez. He grew up in the Dallas area, played at the USL League One North Texas under Eric Quill, who's a former Houston area youth product who played in MLS, now an assistant at Columbus. But David Rodriguez is a midfielder for Atletico San Luis, so he's coming up. We're going to talk to him about their preparations for Liga MX, coming here to play in the Dynamo Charities Cup as well. All right, quick word here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They are committed to working for you 24/7. You get into car accident, maritime, motorcycle. Few things are worse than a serious accident to yourself, family members. You know, it's stressful. You need somebody to represent you. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. DaspitLaw.com, great sponsors of this show, also our sister show in Austin on Horn FM. All right, we'll come back. More soccer talk to come. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, there's no show in Houston where you hear the band Poolside, The Public Image, Peter Tosh, and Led Zeppelin. I mean, we have the best music, bar none, in Houston. Bar none, Andrew. It's very subjective, of course, but you've gotten punk, you've gotten reggae, you've gotten sort of chill music. I mean, what more can you ask for? And you got classic rock with Zeppelin. All right, welcome back to the show. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue on. Quick word here for Lamont Brands. LamontBrands.com, that's where you get your Soccer Matters t-shirt. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients. We're creating awareness fundraising through the show. This is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. I made that commitment with this show many years back. LamontBrands.com. Go down there. And by the way, if you need t-shirts for anything or anything else, they're going to handle you in a great way. But we would love for you to pick up the Soccer Matters t-shirt because all the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation. And our good friends, Hugh O'Connor's, I-10 Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 monitors. Great place for watching games, burgers, bangers and mash, shepherd's pie, 18 monitors, all the best in soccer, and the Liverpool supporters group out there, as well as many other people, including a former youth club I was involved with, had a little reunion out there, the Hurricane Soccer Club. All right, this brings us to our next guest, Atletico San Luis, in town this weekend. We go to midfielder David Rodriguez. David, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, no problem. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, pleasure to have you on. You're a great story. You grew up in San Luis, 19 years of age. You're on the first team of this Liga MX club. You grew up, though, in Irving, Texas. Tell us a little bit about the way you grew up from a soccer perspective.
So I moved from San Luis when I was 12 years old, and we moved to Irving, Texas, and that's when we find out FC Dallas, and I try out for the academy for 3 years, and 3 years didn't make it. On the fourth year, that's when I make it, and that's when I started my academy process.
David, incredible story. So you try out for the academy, you make it on the fourth time, you're now a player on Atletico San Luis. I mean, if that's not inspirational, I don't know what is. But, you know, what prevented you from giving up? I mean, is this just the strength of character you had?
I mean, it's just what I really wanted to do, you know, never give up. And I kept trying until I made it.
Congratulations to that. David Rodriguez will be here in Houston with Atletico San Luis. They will take on the Houston Dynamo this Saturday. That game's on AT&T Sportsnet. You can get tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. So you also played on the USL League One team that won the championship, North Texas. I watched you play on that team. And, of course, Eric Quill was your coach. Tell me about that experience and what that has meant for your development.
Oh, I think that was a great experience. I like it the most because I was playing with my brother, my older brother, Arturo. And it was just like a great process for me playing for a professional when I was 17, 18 years old. And I think that helped a lot.
What was Eric Quill, because he's a Houston guy, what was he like as a coach?
Excuse me?
What was your coach like, Eric Quill?
Oh, he was very tough, like, he was on our asses every time, but, like, pushing us to do better every time and every day. I like him. He was a great coach.
talking to, he's only 19 years of age. It's David Rodriguez. Amazing story. Plays for Atletico San Luis. They'll be here this weekend. All right, you guys have been in Cancun in preseason. I see you guys have been doing a lot of running and a lot of beach work on the beach.
Yes, we have. It was tough, but, you know, and on our tour, I think it's going to be good, fun for Easter and against San Antonio. We're all excited about it.
Now, I would assume you're going to have a lot of family at these games, right, coming down from Irving?
Excuse me?
Will you have a lot of family members at the game?
I will have a lot of friends, but yes.
Very good. We're talking to David Rodriguez, a midfielder for Atletico San Luis. By the way, a big shout-out to Victor Ariza, helped get this interview set up. Your coach, Andre Jardine, what type of coach is he?
He likes to play with the ball a lot, you know, try to play from the back, make some plays, and, you know, just a lot of touches on the ball. That's what he likes.
Do you guys employ a pressing game?
Excuse me?
Do you guys like to press as a team?
Oh, yes. He loves to press. Yeah, I think we have a very good pressing team.
David Rodriguez joining us. So, you know, you've gotten minutes with the first team. How do you get more in the future, David? Obviously, you're a guy that's fighting for more minutes on this team. How do you get more?
I mean, you know, it's just be there every single training, you know, keep pushing and pushing until the coach gives you the chance, and you have to be ready for it.
So does he take you aside as a coach, Andre Jardine? Does he take you aside and talk to you personally a lot?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Does your coach take you aside personally to speak with you about your game and what he wants improved?
I mean, you know, he just wants a very, he wants their wingers to be, how can I say this, very quick and, you know, good with the ball, with the dribbles. I mean, that's what he likes, and that's why I work on my dribbles every single day.
And taking people on. We're talking to David Rodriguez. Atletico San Luis in town to take on the Houston Dynamo. They're coached by Andre Jardine. They ended up 10th in Liga MX. Jardine, a young coach, 42, just like Paulo Nagamura, only 38. So you got two young coaches going at it. Jardine, by the way, is Brazilian, won the gold medal with Brazil in the last Olympics. What is it like, David, playing with Ruben Sambuesa, the veteran, a guy that's played at Tecos, America, Toluca?
I think that's pretty exciting because when I was younger, I used to watch him on the TV, and now I'm playing with him. I think that's incredible.
Is he the kind of guy that, you know, helps you a little bit, gives tips to the younger guys?
Yes, he is. He's always pushing on the younger guys, you know, trying to keep some advices to make everyone better.
Yeah, that's excellent. David Rodriguez joining us, midfielder for Atletico San Luis. You know, I'm curious. I know you were born in San Luis Potosí, but you bypassed MLS. Did you want to play in MLS, or was this important to you to go back to your hometown and play in Liga MX?
I mean, MLS was always an option, but I had my opportunity here in Mexico, and I took it. And I think it's going pretty good, and I like it.
Is this the best time of your life?
Yes, I can say that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. You're only 19. You're an excellent soccer player. You're a midfielder for Atletico San Luis in Liga MX. You'll be in Houston this weekend to take on the Houston Dynamo. What are you guys trying to get out of this game? What are you and your coach wanting out of this game?
I think basically to work on everything, you know, the passes, the defense, the forwards, and playing against Houston. I think it's going to be a pretty good match for preseason, and we're all excited about it.
Well, David, thank you so much for coming on the show. David Rodriguez, midfielder for Atletico San Luis. You're a great story, David. Very inspirational. We learned a lot about you. We look forward to seeing you at PNC Stadium on Saturday when Atletico San Luis takes on the Houston Dynamo.
Yes, perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, David. So that's great stuff there. David Rodriguez, Atletico San Luis in town. You can get tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. And stay with me here. And remember this number, 713-780-3776, because I'm going to give away some tickets at the end of this segment. We got Paulo Nagamura coming up in hour number two. We've got also Marcelo Balboa. We got thoughts on a number of different things, including both the U.S. national team and the Mexican national team. And then, of course, Paulo Nagamura is going to take us into everything Houston Dynamo as we are preparing for the Dynamo to play in this friendly and then get back to regular season play with a run to Orlando. Their schedule is pretty heavy coming up. June 11th, the Dynamo, obviously the Saturday, San Luis, June 18th at Orlando. You got four of your next seven on the road in Major League Soccer if you're the Houston Dynamo. By the way, I need to backtrack to the Houston Dash because I mentioned a lot of other things around the Dash, but they had a huge win over Orlando City. Hat trick for Nichelle Prince. Amazing goal from Rachel Daly. Really getting it done under Sauer Loudon. They've won a lot of games here in a short amount of time, and tonight they will be taking on Angel City, who's probably going to have a pretty big crowd here on a Tuesday night. Trying to get Maria Sanchez on the show. I had an opportunity. I thought I was going to get the commissioner of the NWSL. She couldn't do it yesterday. She couldn't do it today. So we'll try to get her on again in the near future. A lot going on. July 20th, Manchester City Club America. CopaDeLoneStar.com. That's where you get the tickets. Did that. And we'll have more Dynamo games at home. Next home game, June 25th, Chicago Fire. Shaqiri coming in. Switzerland not so good today. And then home to Charlotte, July 3rd. So a lot going on. All right, Peter Murphy's going to take us to break. We're going to come back with Marcelo Balboa of 2 to NA. Marcelo had that funny incident where the sprinklers went off post-game and kind of caught him. All right, right now. Caller number two, caller number four, you get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo San Luis at 713-780-3776. Caller number two, caller number four. Take a break. Daspit Law Firm.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.